Well, Bruce, things have really been heating up in Iraq, and we've heard the story, so I am so glad that we're taking this time to talk about Samaritan's Purse and what is happening for outreach in that area and helping people. First of all, can you just give us an update? What is the situation in Iraq? What's happening there?
Well, as many people have heard, there's been an uprising by a very fanatical and violent terrorist group. It calls itself the Islamic State, or ISIS. It's emerged out of the ongoing conflict in Syria and Iraq. It's taken control of many strategic cities and regions within Syria and Iraq, and as a result, more than 1 million people have been fleeing for their lives, seeking sanctuary wherever they can find it, and escaping from the brutal violence of these terrorists. Specifically, ISIS is targeting Christians and other religious minorities and giving them an ultimatum, you know, convert to their brand of Islam or die. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't proved to be an idle threat. They are killing people in a genocidal manner.
So who are the people that are being persecuted and fleeing? Can you describe them?
Well, they're mostly people from different ethnic and religious minorities, but probably the largest group is, in fact, Christians. So tens of thousands of Christians have fled. These are people who have lived in the Middle East for centuries. And also Muslims who aren't following the same fanatical ideology as ISIS are being persecuted. These communities have lived side by side in peace for centuries, but now they're being forced from their homes. There's churches and even mosques are being destroyed.
Now, I heard that those who are fleeing are from some of the ancient biblical places. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, many of the Christians are from the Chaldean group, which is the same ethnic group as Abraham way back in the book of Genesis. The area around the city of Mosul is the province of Nineveh. And in fact, yes, that's the site of the city of Nineveh that we hear about in the book of Jonah. The Christians in this region are been there, as I say, for centuries. Some claim their heritage goes back to the Apostle Thomas in the first century. So, you know, it's a tragedy, it's an evil injustice that people are being uprooted in this way. If your listeners want to learn more detail about what we're doing and our response, then go to samaritanspurse.ca/Beth.
And what are people doing to find refuge and safety?
Well, the area of Kurdistan, it's a semi-autonomous region within Iraq. It's been relatively secure over the last decade. So there's hundreds of thousands of people have fled to Kurdistan seeking protection. It happens that Samaritan's Purse has had an office in Kurdistan since 2007. We originally set that up for doing rebuilding and construction projects there, but it certainly has proven a platform for rapid response to these refugees.
Are there any specific stories about families fleeing that you can share?
Oh, well, the stories I'm hearing are really horrific. Let me just tell you, you know, one about a lady by the name of Diana. She told us she had 10 minutes to escape from her hometown. You know, around midnight, she heard the commotion, saw people running through the streets in panic, trying to escape from the terrorists. It turns out the terrorists had disguised themselves as medics and aid workers and were actually shooting people from ambulance. So, you know, everyone fled. Cars and trucks jammed the road. She managed to grab a ride and joined everyone else in this flood of refugees. They had no time to pack the food or the water. The ride, they went towards Erbil, which is the capital of Kurdistan. And I'm told it's normally a one-hour drive, and it took them 9 hours. They arrived at the border literally with the clothes on their backs, but at least they had their lives have been spared.
Do you know how ISIS actually identifies minority groups?
Well, people tend to live together in communities. So you'd have a village that would be Yazidi. You'd have a village that would be Chaldean Christian. You might have a village, it would be predominantly. And there's some, you know, difference in dress, difference in surnames. So it's not apparent to us, but it's obvious to them. Mm-hmm. And basically, if you line up and support ISIS, if you don't line up and support them, you're an enemy.
So I am so glad that Samaritan's Purse is there. You've already been in there before all of this unrest happened. What are you doing to help these desperate families?
Well, you know, it would help to imagine, if you can imagine what it's like to be one of these people, if you imagine what it would be like to be Diana and the others that were fleeing towards Erbil, you're fleeing ahead of the murderers, and they're chasing you, literally, to the border. You arrive there at Kurdistan, you're overwhelmed with fear, you're exhausted, you've had nothing to eat, nothing to drink, and then you find out it's a two-day process to clear security checkpoints. The temperature's 42 Celsius, 110 Fahrenheit. That has to be just awful. But we've got our church partners. They go to the border. They greet the people there. They give them a cold bottle of water. But most importantly, they let them know they've reached a place of safety and sanctuary and made a new friend. Since June, we've been doing this, and we're providing the stuff you might expect, food, their water, other emergency responses to the families. We have a base of operations in Erbil and another community called Chemchemel, and there's a lot of churches in these areas. We're supporting them, organizing them, providing volunteers, and helping the people who are displaced, staying in the churches or in the area around the churches, and we've helped to set up communities of tents, tent communities to shelter people in. So, again, your listeners can learn more about this at samaritanspurse.ca/Beth.
What other kinds of relief supplies are being distributed?
Well, beyond the mass distribution of food rations and bottles of water, we've been trying to distribute mattresses and pillows so people get up off the ground. We've been distributing shoes. A lot of people wore their shoes out, so many fled on foot. Mm-hmm. We've been distributing children's clothing. In fact, we distributed more than 50 cradles so that babies would be off the ground and protected from biting ants. We've distributed hundreds of Bibles and even the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes to children, and air coolers or fans and other devices to try to help people withstand the 40, 43 degree heat.
What is the history of Samaritan's Purse being in that part of the world? Because you're not newly there, you've been there for a while.
Yeah, we've had an office in northern Iraq since 2007, thanks to the support of our generosity of our donors. In 2011, we started working with Syrian refugees coming out of Syria. There was a flood of new refugees last year into Kurdistan, so we set up to provide the food and medicine, clothing, bedding at wintertime, so we set up kerosene heaters, and we established our church support network and volunteer network. So it was well established and set up to respond quickly to the current crisis when it began in June. In addition to all of that, we brought 65,000 Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes airlift last January. And you know, I'd say that it's more than just, you know, a token Christmas gift. It's proven to be a powerful symbol of hope. It's a reminder to the folks who receive them, the whole family, that they haven't been forgotten and that there's people in other parts of the world looking out for them.
Sometimes it's easy to feel helpless when we hear about this and we think, what can we do here to help Christians and other minority groups over there? What can we do to help?
Well, you know, I think your listeners understand. I think I've been hearing, I've had many phone calls. People understand this is an evil attack on family. We don't know these people, but we know they are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that they're being violently persecuted and attacked along with the other minorities. Instinctively, we feel like we must act, that this can't continue. So first of all, please join Samaritan's Purse in prayer. Prayer is action. Because only God has the power to restore peace to this region. Pray that somehow people's faith will be strengthened through this ordeal and circumstance they're going through. Pray that ISIS will be stopped. Pray that the families can return to their home to live in peace and safety. You know, I pray that the church is going to really grab onto this opportunity, you know, hands the feet of Christ to those in need. And ultimately pray that the church is going to be restored and bounce back and stronger than ever in this region.
Yeah.
And of course, the second thing we need is people to donate. Without the generous support of our Canadian donors, we wouldn't be able to continue to minister to these physical and spiritual needs of hurting families in Iraq. Samaritan's Purse has the unique privilege of being a bridge between the Christians and churches in Iraq who are being attacked, Christians and churches in Canada who want to help. So donate. You can help us do something to help them.
You know, I remember hearing about what was happening with the Jews in World War II in Germany, and I thought, boy, if I ever lived during that, I would have done something had I known. And now I look at this situation. Do you see it as somewhat similar?
I do, and I think the difference is in the age of modern communication, we do know about it, so we don't have the excuse of saying we don't know what's going on and, you know, until after it's over. We know, and so something has to be done. This is just... Personally, I know God is offended by this, and he is calling on us to act.
So where can our listeners go to donate, learn more about Samaritan's Purse and the work that you're doing there?
Well, they can phone 1-800-663-6500, or they can go to samaritanspurse.ca/Beth. So that's 1-800-663-6500 or samaritanspurse.ca/Beth.